I'm going to call the meeting of the Lincoln County Fair Board to order at this point. And Mr. Beisman and myself do constitute a quorum. First order of business is approval of the minutes from the August 11th meeting. They were emailed out and reviewed, and if there are no changes to the minutes as submitted, they will stand approved.
No objection.
Okay. Then we move on to our other business agenda, and first up, Central Coast Soccer Association. Mr. Hurst, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. You probably know I'm the president of Central Coast Soccer Association, which provides recreational soccer for over 400 players throughout Lincoln County, not just in Newport, but we serve all of Lincoln County. CCSA is an all nonprofit, all volunteer organized activity. And you know that Lincoln County has a dearth of flat field spaces, which is worst in central Lincoln County here in Newport. That sort of lack has been exacerbated by increasing interest in youth athletics over the last few years. So it's been a big impact for CCSA. So this fall, Soccer Association has requested use of the lawn in front of the stage for periodic soccer practices. Those will be used for 1 to 2 hours several nights per week during the fall season. And so I have worked with Amy about scheduling that and have the insurance forms on file. But I know in this transition, we weren't sure what the fee structure would be for this kind of use. So I have a couple of both short and medium and long-term requests of the Fair Board to consider. So in the short term, I would ask that the Fair Board consider waiving the fees altogether for our usage for this activity. And if not, then consider the limited impact that these uses have on them when we decide to set a fee. And then I would like, you know, sort of thinking medium and long term for the Fair Board as we go into re-envisioning the commons and the RFP for designing the new space, to keep in mind the potential for use of the common space, the open areas, for both organized athletics and also informal athletic grounds. And so that doesn't necessarily mean, although I might like it, you know, some kind of complex sports facility. It simply means thinking about the placement and arrangement of field areas relative to buildings and those kinds of things, and relative to entrances and exits to the commons areas. So just as an example, in the short term, I hope that maybe we could look at, in the largest open area space that's available for any kind of athletics, the flagpole is centered right in the middle of that space in the lawn. And so, you know, possibly moving the flagpole to adjacent to the building or adjacent to the fence would open up a larger area that would be available for various informal informal practices. So, and the possibility of creating a key pedestrian gate in addition to the gates that only, you know, have the big gates open for vehicles, maybe along 3rd Street there. And then in the long run, you know, as I said, thinking about the placement of open spaces and thinking about what shared uses they could be, thinking about the availability of bathroom facilities that could be made available to events that are only using the outdoor spaces without having to open up the exhibition hall buildings. Those would be things that, sort of keeping in mind that we want to promote a much wider range of uses. So, of course, I am in contact with the directors of all of these leagues and the coaches of all the teams throughout Lincoln County. So I'm happy to sort of answer questions or talk about how, you know, what kinds of facilities would best serve a wide variety of uses and would fit into the sort of longer term planning process. So those are a couple of short, medium, and long term things. So.
Okay. Which do you want to tackle first, Mr. Beisman?
Well, I guess I'd start with a couple of comments. One is that I don't have any problem with utilizing the space currently, assuming that the scheduling and so forth can be appropriately arranged. I don't have to take it on the fee right at the moment. But I would suggest that in terms of the medium and long-range planning, your suggestions about spaces could be part of, probably will be part of the discussion.
Yeah, I think it needs to be, definitely.
with regard to how the fairgrounds will ultimately look, but there'll probably be a period of time in there when they're under construction that the grounds wouldn't be available. There might be a year or maybe two, depending on the time frame of the construction. We simply won't be able to accommodate this kind of usage of the grounds. So there may be a short, I'll call it a short period, year or two in there, where you may have to make some other arrangements simply because construction is occurring on site.
Right.
And it won't be able to. But generally speaking, I don't have any problem with, and I certainly think that maybe a mistake, but it'll be part of the planning process.
Yeah.
The open spaces as well as the structure itself. I mean, we are talking about revising the master plan for the site.
Right.
And that would include a finalized master plan.
So,
certainly I would expect those things would be included.
So, are you interested in being on the master plan committee, or if not, finding another representative?
Yes, I would. If I were asked, I would be happy to serve on such a plan.
I think you'd be great for that.
Somebody put his finger down someplace. Doesn't get away from
it. We know that Newport Cross Country has regularly utilized the grounds, and it would be nice, you know, if that could continue. But we do have to think through a lot of issues. Configuration of buildings, what kind of fencing, what kind of access. So, well, yeah, this opens up a number of avenues of exploration and discussion in my book.
We've talked about this before in more general terms with regard to the RFP and the refinement and finalization of the master plan and gathering as many of the stakeholders, people who have some interest in the site or usage of the site, and we've envisioned that would be a pretty large group.
Right.
And there's no reason why your particular interest should not be represented together with a huge number of others.
Right. So, and we haven't talked about this in great depth, but my thought always has been in having a formal committee, those are the people who are basically committed to see the whole process through, you know, participate in all the meetings and provide feedback to the architectural team. But, you know, at the same time, there'll be open meetings, so if anybody who's interested.
The RFP actually reflects both of those components.
So that anybody, if somebody wants to just drop in on one meeting, ask questions, offer input, that'll be welcome.
So there'll be many opportunities.
Yeah.
So stated another way, being as part of that committee is going to be a commitment in terms of number of meetings and time and so forth, so that we can gather the information we really need to do a proper job.
Yeah. And I don't know if we're talking four meetings, six meetings at this point.
The consultants will work with us.
Yes. Okay.
We haven't selected a consultant yet. And a little bit later, we're going to have an update on the RFP that's going out to get the consultant. But just FYI to you, if you're willing to be on this committee, that'd be great. But understand that it is going to be some time to get it, and some time period to get all of it.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe we turn to the immediate requests now, and I guess Amy, when we're talking, okay, thumbs up, so no problems on scheduling. I don't know, do we want to do a complete waiver, or generally I think we've asked most nonprofits at least for some kind of nominal payment to reflect the fact that there is some staff time involved in, you know, checking the grounds are secure, just doing the calendaring.
Amy, do we know what the normal fee would be?
For the area in front of the stage, I mean, it would be excessive to charge we would normally charge just to use the area in front of the stage every evening.
Right.
I would say $100.
Do we for just that particular area?
We have fee for every area.
Yes.
On the ground.
We do. That area?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
But I would say $100 for how long does it run, Tom?
It'd be like an hour and a half to 2 hours a night. For a couple of nights a week for 2 months.
For 2 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, $100.
$100 what?
Total.
Total?
Total, okay. Yeah.
She's saying $100 total for 2 months for 2 hours. up to 2 hours twice a month.
That would be
no, for each usage or for the 2 months?
For the entire duration of their rental.
Oh, right.
I mean, the only thing they're accessing and affecting us is our porta potty, possibly.
Okay.
And I'm going to pay for the porta potty anyway. So we haven't charged them in the past.
Okay.
Not okay. All right. Well, we have charged them.
I'm comfortable with doing it at least for this year.
Yeah.
Again, we don't know what the future holds because of the RFP and the consultant
and all that. And what the timeline will be. So.
Right. But for this year, I'm okay with that.
So would you like to formalize that with a motion?
What am I moving? That we waive the fee for them for this year?
Yes, and allow usage for this year.
All right. I'll so move.
And I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. OSU extension.
And one little thing in terms about the medium term, I know this long, the planning process will be very long, and I know last time I was here, you were, you know, suggesting, well, we shouldn't be on the edge of our seats waiting for a building that's not going to be built for 7 years.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that, you know, that maybe the staff could look at the possibility of moving the flagpole as a simple remedy that would bring that space. So if it would be possible to have the staff look at the possibility of moving the location of that.
We could look into that. But one thing I guess I should share that we've had since that meeting, we had discussion with the Board of Commissioners, and we are really now looking at a much accelerated timeline because we're looking at essentially borrowing against the revenues that will be coming in from the room tax. And I'm telling people, I mean, this is a best case scenario. A lot of things could derail it, but if we get, we're going to go forward with our RFP for architectural master planning services, try to get something on board before the end of the year, get this process done next spring, and if we settle on a design and we can get all the preliminary work permitting done and line up a contractor, that's a lot of if. So I just want to emphasize for everybody, but potentially we could be breaking ground at the beginning of 2018.
Said there are a lot of ifs,
but we can at least ask that question
to accelerate.
I'm just thinking about the way timelines are, and even then, that's already three complete sports seasons between now and then.
Sure. So we'll ask that question to staff if it, can, how easily it could be relocated.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Todd, Michelle, you're on.
Okay. Well, good morning, gentlemen. I'm pleased to report that we're pretty much done crunching numbers. We've submitted our fair summary to the Oregon Fair Association, and we have our end of the fair report, the annual fair report, done as well. I have some talking points and some numbers to discuss, some highlights to hit, and certainly any questions that you have. Looking at the draft P&L, which I think is the top sheet in your paper, this is just a draft. There are a few things that that will change over time. We're still getting in a few invoices that we don't know the specific numbers on, things like the porta potties. We don't have that exact number yet, but in essence, you can see that we're going to end in the black, and we're happy with that. It was a successful fair financially, and we didn't go upside down. We were a little concerned about that. I'll talk about our rodeo and bull riding event in a moment, but we're worried that things may be tight. They ended up not being, and we're very, very pleased with that. So take that that draft P&L for what it's worth informationally at this point, and we hope that in the next month or so, as we get those invoices out and collect on the revenues, that will be finalized. But I suspect it's going to end up very, very close to what we have there. We don't know our attendance number for sure. The new free fare format makes it very, very difficult without staffing approximately 36 volunteers for the entire duration of the fair to count every single gate as people are coming and going. What we did is collected a bunch of anecdotal evidence, and all of that seems to suggest that our attendance is up again. What we do know for sure is that our food vendor sales were up an average of 43%. That includes an 87% bump on Saturday, remembering that our electricity went down Saturday a year ago, and food vendors had a rough go of it. But even on Friday and Sunday, our food sales was still up for a total of 43% higher. So we're very, very pleased with that. We also know that our trash collection, one of the barometers that I use, was up 50% this year. Last year we filled one 20-yard dumpster, actually two 10-yard dumpsters. This year we filled that 20 and then had to get another 10-yarder coming. Thank you to Jack for being Johnny on the spot and getting that for us by Monday, so we didn't have a big garbage mess. The ATM was about static, about a little under $13,000 went through that ATM machine. We know that our vendor count was up 17%. We had 67 vendors as opposed to 56 vendors last year, so we were happy with that. Our educational vendors were down slightly. That's one of the line items that OFA tracks, but due in large part to the fact that we didn't have that large fire truck display. We counted that as educational last year, and they weren't able to come back this year. So our educational shows down a little bit, but if you remove the fire trucks out of that, we actually were even or actually slightly higher on educational displays. I mentioned our rodeo was a bit of a disappointment. We tried something new this year. We did a Saturday Challenge of Champions Tour and a Sunday Junior Rodeo, and where I had hoped to, it of course for 2 days of events cost us more money. I had hoped to make up for that in ticket sales. What we really saw was that ticket sales were just split between the 2 days and even slightly down. So our ticket sales went down, our expenses went up. I had assurances from the contractor provider that wouldn't be the case, and that didn't happen. So I have a meeting set up with him next week to talk about our disappointment and see what we can do to mitigate that going forward and make sure that we get back on track. Music was good, of course, for people that were there. We know that both Saturday and Sunday night we had a very cold, wet marine layer that came in late in the afternoon, and so that put our headliner music off. The local bands that played during the day, though, were quite exceptional and fairly well attended, so we were happy with that. Senior barbecue, I understand, was sold out again at seating roughly 350 people. I think they sold out of hot dogs, had a few hamburgers left, but we're of course very, very happy to see that and honor and respect the senior members of our community. Anecdotally, I did get a little bit of information from the helicopter rides. They had 33 rides on Friday, 37 on Saturday, 53 on Sunday, and grossed $5,963 total. They were very, very pleased with that. They actually had to give back $570 in rides that they had to cancel due to either conflicts with the rodeo event or the weather that shut them down. So they would have been $6,500 gross for the weekend, and they were pleased with that. Monster Truck anecdotally told me that they made money. They were pleased. I don't know how much. Our youth market animal auction was up 12%, 26,000 to 11 from 23,000 the year before, and that's with 40% fewer animals. We had a much smaller show this year than we did last year, so we're pleased that the revenues were up there. The climbing wall was also a success. Under the business model that they were using, they traditionally don't do it for fairs. They bring it in for corporate events, and this was the first fair that they had done in years, and said it definitely paid the revenue that they needed to make that happen. Bouncy houses reported that they were slow on Friday, good on Saturday, good on Sunday for about a $5,000 gross. They were happy and would like to come back. Our open class exhibits doubled in size, 509 exhibits this year from 256 last last year. 4-H exhibits were also up significantly, 379 from 211 last year. And interesting to note that the combination of bouncy houses, helicopter, monster truck, and climbing walls made up roughly the revenue from the carnival that we missed by not having the carnival. So that was fun to see, although we didn't recover as much revenue because some of those, for example, we didn't take anything from monster truck or helicopter. Because those were new events, we didn't know what to charge, if to charge anything. We were happy to get them here, so we didn't recover any revenue from them. But going forward, I think the potential is there, and I think we've shown that even without a carnival, things are probable and do work well. I did share with you the only two negative emails that we've received. I don't know if anybody else has received negative comments. One, I think you guys were aware of, Mr. McKeeman, who emailed us suggesting that there were FAA rules being violated in the with regard to the helicopter. I responded to him and said we don't believe that that's the case, but certainly are happy to hear your concerns. And I gave you the whole email chain there, but basically he came back off of the FAA comment and said, well, it's really just a noise nuisance. And I assured him that we it was a brand new thing. We hadn't done it before. We didn't know what to expect. Then we certainly, and if we decide to do that sort of thing going forward in the future, would take into consideration his statements and concerns regarding the noise and the nuisance in the community there. I think that's prudent to do. I'm sorry that we hadn't done that this year.
And just to add on the helicopter, on the spot, I had a call from the Aquinahead Lighthouse. The rangers there called up and said, hey, you're flying too close to our shoreline. And so I actually was right by the helicopter, got the pilot on the phone, they chatted. It wasn't designated on his map, and he said, absolutely, he figured out what the area was, he was flying high enough. So the people flying were very responsive to any folks that said, hey, you're not flying appropriately. So just to give them kudos for being responsive to that. And we were glad. I thanked them for letting us know. We can't know it if it's not on the map.
It's not on the map, yeah.
Yeah. We did have, at least I saw one other email from a neighbor who essentially said the 3 days of noise from the flights she found very disruptive, yeah, nerve-wracking, and that's the only other complaint I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that other email needs a response. They weren't necessarily requesting a response, but I just wanted to include it so that we knew what kind of complaints were out there.
The church and state issue, is that the one you're referring
mm-hmm.
to? Yes.
That's not a violation.
Yeah, oh, that she was objecting in addition to some of the booths, which we've discussed, that we're really not going to get into the business of judging the speech content of vendors as long as they're legal. But the opening of the rodeo events with a prayer, well, we don't do a prayer at our Board of Commissioners meeting.
On the other hand,
many counties do, many city councils do, the Oregon legislature does.
Most football events, they may not do it
the U.S. Congress. Yeah, the U.S. Congress does.
Yeah, so that's not a separation.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think so, but I didn't want to your read on that, Mr. Belmont.
With all of the information that we've collected, we're using the number of 15,000 for attendance this year as what we feel is a very conservative estimate. That's up from 13,382 last year, which was the manual gate that we actually counted. We again think that's conservative because if you take things like food sales being up 43% and garbage being up 50%, that number very well could be much higher than that, but we just don't know for sure. So we're taking the conservative approach. We think 15,000 plus is what we had, and that satisfies Oregon Fair Association. They're not expecting a manual, one person, one head count.
Yeah, like Washington County doesn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're running with 15,000 plus and pretty happy with that number, and again happy that it is an increase over last year. Thank you guys very much for the tables. tables, the chairs, the tents, the water improvements, the open class displays that we put on, and we probably need to talk about that a little bit. We ended up putting some expenses on the ProBuild account to accommodate our open class exhibitors, some lattice work and some plywood and that sort of thing to make things, some accoutrements in there to make things more displayable. The electricity improvements, the trash collection that Jack put worked into his budget, all of those were things that made this fair infinitely smoother than last year. It's amazing what a year of track record will do, and the things that you can see going forward that you didn't see the first year that we were able to sort of fix and mitigate. So thank you guys for all the hard work in that regard. 2017 going forward, obviously this is the time now that I need to go back to the university and say, you know, what's up, where are we headed here. We're working on but don't yet even have the MOU from last year done, but we have an appointment with Mr. Belmont to get that solidified, I think, and figure out from the university's perspective what exactly it is that they're wanting. And as I mentioned, we do have some, not only the summary report that I think I emailed to everybody, but also the hour end of the full OFA report, and that's the last page in your packet. Michelle may have some highlights that she'd like to cover on that. She was the heavy number cruncher on the OFA report.
Not a lot of highlights that weren't already covered by the fair report. Just in general, even with reduced usage of the fairgrounds, trying to keep it available for the works that we've done throughout the year, we still managed to kind of up our use of it and extend that use to groups that we were partnering with through the year. So the number of people using that facility throughout the year, people did continue to benefit. And I think as we look forward to revamping everything there, there will be lots of opportunities for input, as was already shown here with the soccer and so forth. One thing I will say on this report, and I'll talk to Tanya more about it, is just as we learn about the fair, we kind of learn a little bit better what they're asking for in this report. So occasionally numbers kind of shift a little bit, and we realize, oh, that's what they were looking for. Now I get it. So if a number seems a little wonky and we need to chat about that, we can certainly do that. But overall, one of the interesting things, number of volunteers throughout the year working at the fairgrounds, so be that during the fair or at 4-H events or other events that we were organizing, 296 volunteers for 3,651 volunteer hours on the fairgrounds this year, just on our side of things. So that doesn't include any other events that took place. So it's still a very useful grounds, even as we look forward to renewing it.
Excellent. Any comments or questions, Mr. Biesman?
Several comments. One is that I've forgotten whether it was Friday or Saturday night, but I think it was Saturday. I felt bad for the musicians because it was a relatively hot day. People were dressed in that manner. And as you said, late in the afternoon, we had that heavy marine layer came in, and I know that drove a whole bunch of people away because it got real cold and misty real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that hurt attendance at that portion of things quite badly. Two, I had a conversation at Lou's with Colleen about display gear, if you will, in the open exhibit area for the quilts and some of that kind of stuff. And she indicated that they could use some help from us there in purchasing, I'm not sure exactly what you guys would have to help me with that, but purchasing
pipe and drape is what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she called it. Some of that kind of stuff that they could have done more had they had more of that kind of gear to use. Doesn't look to me like it's a terribly expensive item. It's just a matter of getting it in that
available. Yeah, we've contracted with Oregon Coast Event Rentals to get that stuff. It is very common that fairgrounds would own that stuff themselves. Of course, one of the issues that we have right now is storage. I do think as we start looking forward at the new facility, incorporating that sort of infrastructure probably is absolutely important.
Yeah, And then also, I think there was some discussion about the, I'll call it the animal housing, that they could use some more or small animal housing or something.
The cages and so forth that they use in that. And again, as we look at that, I think it's a matter of, obviously we're using an arena, an indoor arena for that open class area. It's, I think, taking the bigger picture of open class and animals and how we want to move forward with that. And if, in fact, we are and we get, you know, a superintendent that can manage that, I definitely think investing in that infrastructure, one of the things that Colleen talks about is the ability to get some shows throughout the year, things like APA, American Poultry Association sanctioned shows that don't exist here on the coast, and so we might have a potential to grow that as a resource, as not just for the fair. So,
and there's been discussion in the past about our being on the same weekend as the Wooden Boat Show in Toledo. Mm-hmm. Again, it was a real hot day, and I'm not quite sure how that affected the attendance at the fair and at the boat show. An awful lot of people were here at the coast trying to escape the...
Yeah, I talked to at least half a dozen who came here strictly to escape the Valley Heat when they saw there was a free fair going on. They said, I might as well take a look.
But I did go over Saturday to the boat show, too, and it looked like they were doing well. I don't know how they saw it. I haven't talked to them. But I did go over myself and take a look, and it looked like they had pretty good attendance as well. Lastly, I owe the fair $75 to make the check to. The log scaling, I won that. However, I had to share the prize with someone else, so I only got $75 instead of the whole $150.
Oh, you want to donate it back?
Well, at the time I filled out the thing and everything, I told them if I happened to win it, I'd donate it back.
And
you're
adding
it. That is very fun.
Don't tell me who to make the check to. I'll write you a check for $75.
Would it be payable to Lincoln County?
Lincoln County Fair.
Yeah. Lincoln County Fair. We have a few minutes afterwards. And again, you only get $75 because I hadn't split.
That's very fun. Very quickly, I can speak to Wooden Boat Show. I did have a conversation with Bud afterwards, and he said that their show was good. Of course, one of the barometers that they were looking at, or that they look at year over year, last year they had the all-class reunion there.
Oh,
and so it was difficult for him to gauge where they had such a captive audience last year, what the result really was this year. He did mention to me that he felt like their youth participation at the Wooden Boat Show had been down, that our fair hurt the youth numbers that they had, and in particular the little craft boat building. He said that has been down for them significantly over the last number of years. I don't know that we can directly attribute that to the fair, but of course I hadn't even thought of it in that demographic, adults versus youth. And so I told him that we would continue to look at that we would also look at the fair calendar and talk with our other OFA members and see if there was an alternate date. I didn't rule anything out there. But again, he did say that, or he seemed pleased with their numbers, although not wanting to give any credit of that to the fact that there was a competitive fair promoting them at the same time. Yeah. So.
And I guess my last comment was that, and I'm not sure who was responsible for this. I'm looking for that person. Putting t-shirts on Frank and Bill and myself that said Fair Board on the back.
Oh, yeah. Might as well just hung a target on our back. 98% of the feedback I got was very positive.
Yeah, and my wife said we should draw a circle around it with a red slash.
I know who's responsible, but I'm not telling.
I'm looking for them. Okay. I can accept that.
Yeah.
But the point about it was that I did get a fair amount of comments and questions as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
You must be the person in charge.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not being involved intimately in the minutiae of the fair.
Right, like some guy who needed an extension cord. I wasn't able to help, but I did steer him.
I did not get any significant negative comments, but my answer to the people have asked me the question, these questions.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about it. I said, well, first of all, you have to understand the pre-qualification of wearing the shirt is not knowing anything. And I don't.
Yeah.
But I know somebody who can help you, and then I would try and find you guys or somebody like that that could help them.
Yes, so that's
right. And that proved at various times to be somewhat of a chore because we didn't have a communications network established.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to suggest that if we, at least if I do that in the future, we need to make a little bit of an arrangement.
Yeah, whether we have everybody's cell phones on speed dial or exactly what.
We all agree with
that. I just figured with a few, within a few steps, I'd find Todd or Michelle anyway.
Well, I mean, most of the time I didn't have too much trouble finding somebody to help them, but once in a while I wound up searching quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I think it would help if we had, again, whether it's
so maybe some kind of a protocol.
So
okay, let's think about that for next year.
And ideally,
the right person.
As we move forward, ideally that fair office would be staffed.
That would be another.
You know, that there is somebody, because we had people, I've been at your fair office for, and it's like, well, you can see what I'm doing. You know? Ideally, you know, as we get more volunteers,
nice
which we definitely had about three times the number of volunteers this year, you know, hopefully having somebody who can
that's
be in there and then be
idea.
That funnel to who you need versus having to call five people.
Anyway, some kind of communication protocol that led, whether it's the volunteer brigade or one of us.
But we'll figure
Okay.
Communicate with someone who can conceivably at least take care of the issue.
Yep.
Yeah. Good suggestion.
Okay.
We'll get that in there.
So that was your thoughts, Mr. Beisman, I think.
Yeah.
I'll throw out a couple of things if I could. You know, just, you know, a ton of positive feedback. People enjoyed. They said everywhere you turn, there was something different, something fun. Something interesting. I was frankly surprised by the amount of good feedback about the new tents, all positive, that people thought they were attractive. They really appreciated the shade they offered when the sun was beating down. Thought it was a great branding opportunity, and as things got very breezy, you could tell that they were rock solid, so that was, I think, a great investment. Yeah, a fellow hit me up when he saw the Fair Board sign on my back, said he used to be involved in the Benton County Fair for a number of years. I'm not sure his staff or Fair Board member exactly what role. And he said he was part of the evaluation teams who had visited this fair for OFAA and was pleasantly pleased and surprised by the turnaround and the revitalization.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
I did that one that was kind of funny. This elderly couple buttonhole me and talking about it. And we got to talking about the fact that everybody was here escaping the heat.
Yep.
And they didn't understand what the problem was. Of course, they were from Redding, California.
Oh. So the valley heat would be nothing to them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what's this heat problem?
Yeah.
Well, thank you much.
One other quick just piece of 4-H business. Of course, our 4-H year is starting October 1. We'll be ramping back up and doing our educational programs. Riding passes are clicking along. We have about 6 memberships sold. We have a few more coming, although we haven't yet reached that critical mass to pay TCB to lock and unlock the gate. I'd like to broach the subject of a combination lock or some other way of entry. And I mentioned that to Jack, and we revisited that, and I think we have a solution that may work that he's comfortable with, if you guys are. So I'd like to just revisit that quickly. It would, of course, save us locking and unlocking every single day, and still allow us the security of having that fairgrounds locked up when we don't want it to be, and we can change that combination to keep people locked out at any time. So. Jack, is there anything you want to add regarding how to best do that, or just give your blessing?
All I need is a list of what access point you want them to be in, which locks you want to change to a combination lock, and then I'll supply the locks because I have a particular quality that I'm
using. Only the Harney gate and something that we can change the whatever the combination code on it. On a regular basis when we need to. Those are our
The locks I would get, have a key override, and then you can change the combination as often as you want.
Sounds
I
perfect.
I am aware of another model. I happen to belong to the Big Timber Rifle and Pistol Club. And what they do each year when you renew your membership is they send you a key. And you have to pay $5 to get the key. But that lock then is changed every July. So in order to get in there, you have to have this year's key. You have to be, and so forth. I do think it does a number of things for them. I mean, it's much easier to pass a combination than it is to pass a physical key. Again, they have a system whereby every year it's changed for everyone, and you don't have to, they don't have to, I think, worry too much about it. I'm not aware that they're having a problem with their model, but that might be an alternative if you have like a riding club or something.
Yeah.
If they're a member and they pay the deposit, they get a key, and that key is good for whatever the duration is, and then we change the lock and keys. Yes, there's some expense in the lock and the keys, but again, they charge a $5 for the key.
The protocol that we put in place that seems to be working is that riders now need to notify us when they're riding and when they're done, and that has worked very successfully. So we at least have a handle on who's coming and going, and so I think that we at least have sort of a gatekeeping mechanism, if you will, that if the code or the key were getting passed along and people were not calling in to tell us that they were riding, we would see them there and be able to check that and figure out what was going on. So I think either way, and I think Jack and I can work on that and figure out the best way to do it. With your blessing, we'd like to give that a try.
That's fine.
I don't think we need a formal action. Just you've got our informal blessing to work this out between you.
Okay. That's just a staff manager.
Exactly. Okay.
Well, a big thanks to the Fair Board, to Jack and facilities, to Roy and Rhodes. Collectively, we pulled this one off without a hitch, and we're very, very pleased with all that support and everything we did.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jack, Roy, and everybody else who participated in making this year's event a success.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Belmont, RFP update. Or actually, could we, if you don't mind, let's take a county staff update now and let's ask Tracy to come on up.
Yep.
And Tracy contacted me a couple of days ago about the possibility of bringing the warming shelter back to the fairgrounds this winter. And so I said, well, we've got a Fair Board meeting day after tomorrow. Why don't you just come and fill us in on what the situation is, what you're thinking about? I think I already mentioned that the one issue that I know there would be a need to work around, as we did in the past, was the winter farmers market. But beyond that, I guess is Salvation Army not interested in hosting this year as they did last year, or is that
so they've had a change in leadership at their church, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
What they came up with last year was that because winter hits us in October, that's when their toy drive and their food baskets for the holidays hit. So they end up having no space for us.
Yeah.
So this year they said that they would be more than happy to host us after the first of the year.
But of course we often get our worst weather in November and December.
Right, like over Thanksgiving last year we had 45. And they can only house 20 at their church anyhow. So we were already way above and beyond what they could hold. And blessings to the Four Square Church who took us that week. So we got some temporary relief to house that many. So the couple issues that we have with the Salvation Army facility is, one, it's just not enough space for the homeless that we have in our community. 45, we served 45 dinners. We slept, I think, 39 that night, actually stayed and slept there. So only being able to sleep 15 to 20 is a great number, but it's not accommodating the number that we have, as well as waiting until January. We're halfway through the season, and now we've left them out in the cold that long.
And also, you've made some inquiries to churches, and they're just not able to accommodate it either.
Correct. So, churches were totally against it. Others were, no, we're working with Family Promises and trying to get that started in our building. Sure. So there's some conflicts with that as well.
Okay. So do I remember correctly the farmers market, they don't start, you know, that they were going, that they've taken November and December off the last year or two, or I thought they took a break at some point that there wasn't enough, so they do start off right at the beginning of November. Okay, so Friday nights would be out for sure, I assume, and Saturday. What time did they clear out on Saturday, or how have we accommodated them in the past? Can you fill us in, Amy?
They're typically out by, I think it was about 7 o'clock Saturday in the evening.
Okay.
But we do have different events that are now moved to the main hall that were in other areas of the building during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Nights. So
we'd have to look at what conflicts there would be. So maybe if we decide we want to explore this a little further, the two of you could sit down and at least map out the calendar. And unfortunately, I don't know, maybe if even come January, if the Army's willing to provide, we'd serve as a backup space.
Sure.
For when there are Friday nights and when there's conflicts, you know.
Yeah.
What's the thought? I mean, are you willing to at least... Yeah, go ahead.
Tracy, do you guys, you know, one of the things we need is an umbrella organization, a 501c3, so you've got insurance, that kind of stuff. You've got that, do you?
We are working on that at the moment.
Oh,
so I am starting a project called Grace Wins that is trying to develop a tiny house village for our homeless population. So they are willing to umbrella it once we are set, but we're in that process with the accountant as we speak. But they said 21 days from the paperwork being turned in, so we should hear something by the end of September.
That and we will be that organization, and we'll have insurance and all that.
Right, we'll put all of that into effect.
So at this point, is there any action we need to take, or just have some further conversation about this?
Criteria.
I think maybe
criteria going to be we had a set of criteria from before. I don't recall specifically what it was, but are we talking about the same?
And I had a sense you were maybe interested in a little more generous criteria, perhaps.
Well, the way we have it set up right now is 35 degrees or below, with other things, rain, wind,
mm-hmm.
you know, other elements, or 32 and below, period.
Mm-hmm.
The Salvation Army had allowed it to go to about 38 degrees, being that 35 is really cold and 40 is still even cold. I wouldn't want to be in my sleeping bag at 40.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to do whatever we need, because anything is better than nothing at this point.
I'm thinking maybe, could we bring this back to next month's
sure.
meeting, and maybe you have, like, you know, a desired start date, a projected end date,
mm-hmm.
what the criteria would be, and I mean, as long as, you know, if you want to have that more open criteria, as long as you've got the volunteer personnel
sure.
to pull it off, and as long as there isn't a conflict with other events, and also we've always told the school district, I believe, that we wouldn't be open while school's open.
The other thing we need to do is work with staff, because this is, remember the last time we did this, the way we're using it, if we use the exhibit hall, is there's a great deal of money of helping the farm, along with these guys on heat and utilities.
And we had a grant in the past.
We have to be a little bit careful
now.
This year with our funding.
Yeah.
We don't have, you know, that adds, especially if you're adding that many more days, that's a significant
right.
cost. So I think we want to at least get you that information and
mm-hmm.
bring that back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is Virginia Damaris, the County Emergency Services Manager, involved in this somehow, or you work with her?
I have.
No. Part and parcel. I mean, they don't.
No, they really haven't really done emergency sheltering. I mean, when there's a need for emergency sheltering, they're generally working with the Red Cross.
Yeah.
But they're picking up that piece of that work.
That's disaster.
Well, would it be a disaster shelter?
Would it be advisable for to at least touch base with Damaris and see if
wouldn't
there's
hurt.
Some, maybe, mutual interest there, maybe not, I don't know, but it would seem to me that that would be a logical association. At least they know about each other and this kind of stuff, and maybe Maris has some comments on the criteria based upon what she sees and what she knows. I don't know. It just seems to me like it makes sense for you to have at least a conversation with her and see if there isn't something way you two can help each other.
And also touching base with Lola Jones at Samaritan House, because I know, what was it, CSC, a couple of years running, they were able to get some kind of grant money that to support warming shelters in our three-county region. And even if there was a small amount of money available to help cover the increase in the heating bill that would go with it, I think that would be nice.
Okay.
You know?
Well, sure.
As an example, I know that one of the things that Jenny gets is very detailed, advanced
weather forecasts. Yeah, so she can share that with you.
So you might want to be on her contact list with that type of thing, because she gets specific NOAA briefings and so forth that are not generally available, but they might be helpful or might be appropriate for you.
Okay.
And so I'd suggest that you sit down with her and have a little chat and see if there aren't some ways you could help each other.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. Awesome. So, Tanya, can we make warming shelter an agenda item for next month, please? We'll do that.
All right. Thank you, guys.
So we'll start the process, and hopefully we can be part of the solution again. All righty. Any other business? Emily, did you want to provide an update? I know since the last meeting you've told us what formal closure has taken place on the new property.
Yes. For the record, Emily DeHuff, board president of Friends of Lincoln County Animals. Since your last meeting, we have closed on the purchase of a new property, ultimately the new home of the Picketloo litter. We closed September 1st on the old Adventist Church property at first, Northeast First in Fogarty. I suppose segueing from the discussion of sheltering homeless people, we became aware rather late in the game that the Adventist Church, or at least the woman who was sort of the resident manager there, had been providing food and permitting sheltering of homeless persons on the Adventist Church property, contrary to the wishes of the church leadership to some extent. And now that we own the place, they can't do that anymore. They can't sleep on the deck or roll out their sleeping bag on the lawn. And fortunately, we have a board member who's a pretty tough cookie, and she's on the operations committee, and she's made it her business to go and visit the property frequently, daily, and make sure that people know that those days are over. But we do feel bad about being, to some extent, a dog in the manger, so to speak, and depriving these people of whatever humble, limited shelter was available there. But we do intend to work with, of course, the county and social service agencies and churches and nonprofits and whoever is working on providing for services for homeless people, including Crazy, she's still here. I'd like to be. Yeah, I mean, we're aware that it could be perceived that we've kind of pulled the rug out from under these unfortunate people, and that was not our intent. We really didn't know that this was going on until we were committed to the purchase.
Oh my.
And it wouldn't have stopped us from purchasing it anyway.
But that's a shame.
Yeah. It is, but it seems to be working out. Brenda said that those people aren't showing up anymore, and there have been no confrontations, conflicts.
Well, most of those folks are resourceful by necessity.
Yeah, the pastor had us post at the entrance that there are other Seventh-day Adventist churches in the county, one in Wellport, one in Lincoln City, and they can address themselves to those resources, among other, you know, social services that do exist in the county and the state. But anyway, we wish them the best, and we'll be trying to be part of the solution from here on out.
So you're seeing the retail store relocating to that property sometime next year?
I see in the minutes that I probably gave a more specific projection than I intended to.
Oh, okay.
The main home of the pick of the litter probably will be that new property next year.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to give notice at the existing thrift store, because we're suddenly thinking, well, you know, as long as it's, you know, acceptable to the county and perhaps mutually beneficial, that could be, you know, another pick of the litter location and just expand our ability to process and merchandise.
Okay.
So as long as it suits the county's convenience to have us there and to have us continue to pay rent there, we may very well decide to hang in there, you know, as long as you will have us.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how things unfold. Yeah, it does for me too. I mean, at some point, by the time if we're moving construction equipment onto the ground.
Yeah, then you can always invoke your right to give us notice.
Right.
And then we can just stop. But, you know, for 7 years, we've been looking for example, furniture outlet, because we just don't have room for furniture, and it's a big ticket item, and we're referring a lot of furniture donations to Habitat for Humanity that could be of benefit to our mission.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one possibility, but we are just talking about functionality and what should be where and all that kind of thing. But no, we're not planning to pull out of the floral building any specific time.
Okay. On the record, understood.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, just that, you know, we are grateful to the county for having given us the opportunity to use that building all these years at such a favorable rent rate, and I hope the public is aware that the rent reduction that essentially that the county has given us all these years has been essentially a county subsidy for services to animals in our community.
That is an important point, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to share that again. You know, somebody has contacted me expressing the wish that the county could pay directly for spay-neuter services, and unfortunately, we don't have a resource dedicated to doing that, but I did point out to this gentleman that by giving, you know, essentially a subsidized rent to pick of the litter, that has helped focus pay for a lot of spay-neuter services all over the county.
I mean, the difference between market rate for that building and what we are paying is pretty much the spay-neuter grant that we have given to the Central Coast Humane Society for community animal spay and neuter.
So that's good to know.
And we make that clear to anybody who tells us that they think the county should be doing more.
Great.
You're doing a great deal.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wanted to be heard? Or? If not, we'll go to Mr. Belmont, I guess. And, Mr. Vice.
Do you want to leave county staff now and come back to it? Or
I
have a couple of issues.
Well,
go ahead and do county staff.
Let's do county staff, too. Okay.
First, we're kind of a quick one, which is we heard earlier about moving the flagpole. Jack, you got any opinion on that? You want to look at it?
That's not going to be easy. You're talking about a block of concrete 4 feet. 3 feet and probably more like 4 feet deep. It's not an easy thing to just pluck out of the ground and move.
So this isn't something that's really very practical, at least in the near term.
You know, when we plan the new grounds, we're going to be in such flux at that point, that would be the time, I think, that we start worrying about busting up large concrete blocks. And we got to move the signpost where the old Pepsi sign was.
Yeah.
That needs to go as well. And again, that's 4 feet deep, I think 3x4 wide.
Yeah, it was there when we took the Pepsi sign down, so I know what we got there.
Yeah, so it's not light work. It's something that's going to take some bigger machines.
Anyway, I just want to have kind of an answer.
Yeah, once we have a layout for the grounds and we know where the flagpole is going to go next, it's not as easy as it sounds to just move it.
My other issue, and I don't want to get into the leadership today, but I think we need to the board needs to talk, have start having some discussions about what our management model is going to be on a go-forward basis. Working with extension and doing some of those sorts of things, but we have kind of a, in my view, disjointed management structure for the grounds and the activities, and I think we need to start working immediately actually on doing something about that.
I think we do too, because I mean, even with the limited usage of the grounds right now, I know that it's a significant burden on staff time, and as we start ramping up and hopefully are attracting more business, that it's going to increase. So
I think now is the time to do that. We just completed the fair. I don't think we want to start talking about this stuff in like March or something.
Right.
We need to start talking about it now.
Yes.
And planning for the future. And so I'd like to get that on our agenda as something to be worked on and an issue to be resolved.
Okay.
I don't have any specific answers for you right at the minute, but again, I know it's a burden, certainly on certain portions of the county staff, particularly Amy, with the way it's kind of set up now, mm-hmm. and changes that have occurred in that office, and then, I think we need more of a presence on the site for people who want to make personal contact or enter into agreements to use it, and that sort of thing. So anyway, I just want to get that on the table and get started working on that. And again, I think now is the time to do it because we just completed the fair event, and this would be a golden opportunity. So, that's it.
That is part and parcel of our discussions right now. So that's great. The timing is great.
Okay. Mr. Belmont.
RFP. All right. So first of all, Tanya and I, based on last month's discussion about doing a site visit or visits, mm-hmm. we should do it that way. Look into some preliminary schedules, costs, itineraries for doing that for the Fair Board, for the Board of Commissioners, for staff, for selected folks in the community who are going to be involved in this process. And we came to some conclusions in terms of, first of all, scheduling. As we kind of pulled the schedules and looked at things, it looks like it's going to be very difficult to do that before the first of the year. And so we're actually recommending to try and do this. We actually, as we select a consultant, the first thing we do is sit down and get that schedule worked out with the consultant, mm-hmm. with everybody here.
In terms of
the RFP process.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Get the consultant on board, get the steering committee together, have some preliminary conversations about what our priorities and expectations are, then look at these properties. We're talking about like visiting Linn County, Deschutes County.
Yeah, we came up with three different recommendations. So we look at, the facilities in Albany at Linn County Fair on one day. The second day would be at Redmond at the Deschutes County facility. And the third would be Hermiston, the one that really kind of began this discussion. Mm-hmm. And we can do all of those. And so we've looked at the ways that we can do that. We've actually contacted Tanya, did some great work to contact companies about selecting appropriate transportation, mm-hmm. to move everybody over there, kind of move us as a group to do that. So we've done some of the logistics, some of that work now, which I think will be useful when we finally get this thing selected and move forward. So I have now incorporated all of that into the RFP, that particular language, and made it clear that we're scheduling that. We're not, I actually wrote it in such a way that it's not limited to that. The consultants themselves may suggest other locations we want to visit. We can expand or contract whatever the actual itinerary for that particular activity and go forward. But and so I've built that into the RFP now. So the RFP is ready to rock and roll. The only thing that I need to do is, and I don't want to do it right here in the meeting, but I want to talk to, I'll use Tanya to get the Board of Commissioners, and then talk to Frank and Jim And because I'll have your schedule, Bill, is the new dates I've put in here for the various events to occur to make sure that coincides with everybody's schedules.
Right.
So I just need a final kind of a review of the dates and the scheduling.
Yeah, we don't want to go east too early in the year. Just
no, and that's a different issue. That's right now I'm doing the schedule that's in the RFP for when we're going to, they're actually going to respond and we're going to review and we're going to
actually bring them on board.
Yeah, and I've got those dates. I revised those dates based on all this, and I do want one opportunity at least for you guys to take a look at those dates and make sure if we need to adjust those anymore.
Okay.
Before I send them.
Sounds
just
good.
Just a little aside, I think the building that Rogue is building over there now is similar in nature, construction wise.
Big steel building.
The building at Ubatola County. Mm-hmm. I didn't stop and take a close look to make sure it's completely freestanding or freestanding structure and so forth, but just as a quick drive by, it looked to be similar. So if anybody's interested, you might drive by there and kind of see what the actual structure of a building like that looks like.
So as soon as I get the dates confirmed with the group here, in terms of the dates in the RFP, it'll go out.
Great.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else for the good of the order? Yes.
Bay City Cruisers wants to move their annual event from the Elks, which is the third weekend in July, to the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. They don't need to inhabit buildings. They just want to put their cars out, have a barbecue. Yep. There's no alcohol.
And then, but that's next July, 2017.
They turned in, I don't know, they found an old rental agreement.
Oh, okay.
Dropped it off at the office.
Todd, Michelle, any concern about potential conflict with FAIR?
Only from the standpoint that we really haven't. We'd know better in October.
Uh-huh.
I think if we could push that off until after the OFA conference in October and take a look at the OFA calendar. I don't foresee us necessarily moving, but I did give Bud our word that we would look at it.
Okay.
And that, of course, would be the old FAIR date.
Yeah.
That third week of July. So
I know some people from Bay City Cruisers spoke to me at the fair, and I encouraged them to look into this because they said, you know, they've been at the, I guess they were at the fairgrounds at the Commons years ago, and then they moved to the Elks, and now that the city of Newport has removed on-street parking from John Moore Road, they said a lot of people were having difficulty accessing the Elks, and so they were really interested in coming back to the grounds.
Are they an organization that's eligible under our current rental rules about who we're, are they a
501c3
or something?
Yeah. It's a public event.
And they are a 501c3. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you can let them know, we'll get back to them in October if that works with their timeline. That'd be great.
Great.
Yes, Jack.
Just something for you folks to think about. I think the Lincoln County should block out August 18th through the 23rd of 2017. That's when.
Oh, the eclipse.
The eclipse. That would give Lincoln County the opportunity, if we wanted to take advantage of the grounds at that time before somebody hits you with a rental agreement.
Mm-hmm.
This area is already booked solid. Now that there's not an open campground site, there's not an open hotel room. We are going to be absolutely inundated for that week. I don't know if anybody's thought about that yet, but I thought you should probably be aware before something else.
I'm going to recommend to Amy that you do that.
I will say, put not available those dates regardless.
So just for the record, we did notice that, and those are the potential fair dates. If we stay with the third week of August, that would be the fair date that we've had for the last 2 years. Just,
you know, that's one thing to think about there, that again, with hearing that everything is all booked up, what would that do to vendors and other folks being able to book? So
the event itself, the eclipse event,
is on Monday the 21st at 10:30.
So I wouldn't necessarily.
But I imagine the motel rooms are going to be booked that weekend.
Camping, everything is booked.
Yeah.
Oregon State campgrounds are already deferring people to KOAs and anybody they can.
But, you know, that the weekend of the fair this year was that way also. I have a friend who happens to work at Shiloh, and he was comment because of the Eden Valley this year, there simply wasn't a room available on the Oregon coast.
Right.
You have the eclipse component to the fair.
There you go.
We already talked about it.
That's what we got. Blackout fair.
Blackout fair.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Well, Jared?